You're listening to Morning Edition from Red River Radio. I'm Chuck Smith. This week, commentator Dr. Gary Joyner takes us back to Texas in the 1800s for a look at the Texas Cavalry and explains why its history matters.
If you were a Texan at the beginning of the Civil War and you wanted to join a unit where you could make a difference and perhaps become famous, the odds are that you would join the cavalry. Texas was a large state with towns spread wide apart, so almost every Texan was adept at horseback riding, and cavalry just made sense. It should come as no surprise that Texas produced far more cavalry than infantry units. Now, perhaps you may think that the Texas cavalry look like their counterparts in Virginia, dashing gray-cloaked soldiers with shiny boots and brass buttons and large plumes in their jaunty hats. But these rowdy Texas cavalry, with their spirit of independence, did not copy their eastern brethren. A Texas cavalryman was more likely to sport a sombrero or other irregular headgear and to wear clothing types that were also highly irregular. So, what was typical for the Texas cavalry? Basically, whatever they wanted to wear. It was not uncommon to see rough-looking fellows with large handlebar mustaches and with bandolero cartridge belts slung across their chests. They carried a variety of weapons, including bowie knives and machetes. Many were Hispanic, and quite a few were German. Others were American, white, Anglo-Saxon Protestant, who spurned the urban areas of the East and became part of the great Western migration movement. No matter where they originated, they were all fiercely loyal to Texas. Their greatest leader was Brigadier General Tom Green, a Virginian by birth, a graduate of the University of Virginia. He was an attorney and served as clerk of the Texas Supreme Court prior to the war. Green was also fearless. He was considered something of a national treasure in Texas, having fought at the Battle of San Jacinto during the Mexican War, where he achieved fame for gallantry. He also helped turn back a Union invasion of Galveston Bay in a very unorthodox counter-amphibious operation. Green had fought in South Louisiana in 1863 in operations at Berwick Bay and in the Teche and Lafourche campaigns, and also at Donaldsonville. When the Union invaded North Louisiana in 1864, Green's cavalry corps was in south-central Texas, dispersed but prepared to meet any threat. Some of the cavalry regiments rode unbelievable distances to join the Red River campaign and defend their state from Union invaders. The farthest out was Lycan's 35th Texas Cavalry Regiment, which rode from Matagorda Bay to Houston, then to Hemp Hill, and finally up the route that is today U.S. Highway 59. At Carthage, it then diverted east to Logan's Ferry, today's Logansport, and then to Kechi. It missed the Battle of Mansfield by 2 days. They were, however, able to reach the Battle of Blair's Landing on April 12th. Many of the men contracted measles and were only able to ride at night because they were light sensitive. Even hampered by this, this regiment sometimes rode up to 60 miles a day. The Texas Cavalry fought one of the most unusual battles in the Civil War at Blair's Landing, which is located in southern Red River Parish near Natchitoches Parish. For 2.5 hours, 2,500 Texans fought a ship-to-shore naval battle with a Union ironclad and a wooden gunboat. The battle was a tie, but sadly, Tom Green was killed. The Texas Cavalry went on to chase the retreating Union force out of the Red River Valley, most notably saving the historic town of Natchitoches from certain destruction. Many of these Texas Cavalry regiments were placed in the unusual position of not having horses, and many fought in battles such as Mansfield and Pleasant Hill as infantry. They were termed dismounted cavalry. Sometimes, if they were lucky enough to receive mounts, they were listed as dismounted, remounted cavalry. Most of these actions occurred outside the state of Texas, but uniformly, they rode and fought to safeguard what they considered to be the sacred soil of Texas. They are, to me, a perfect example of why history matters.
History Matters is made possible in part by the Louisiana Endowment for the Humanities and Louisiana Cultural Vistas magazine.